If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to Psalm 85 tonight. We're going to look at the first seven verses of Psalm 85. So if you have your Bible, turn to that, or you can read them off the screen. But let's look at these together. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, and thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again real fast. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight. Lord, that you'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that this word would go out in power. And Lord, we pray if there are any lost tonight listening or listening in the future, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would touch them. And Lord, soften their heart, that they would turn to you for salvation. Lord, I pray that you would touch every one of us. Lord, help us to draw nigh unto you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In all things we ask in Jesus' precious name, and amen. So Psalm 85, this was around the time of the end of the Babylonian captivity. So that was in the book of Daniel. If you remember, that's when they were taken captive. The Jews were into Babylon. But when Cyrus, king of Persia, when he took to the throne, he challenged the Jews to go return to their land and rebuild the temple. But we learn from Ezra chapter 2 that just under 50,000, not quite 50,000 actually returned, and the vast majority of them decided to stay in Babylon. They knew that this was going to be hard work to rebuild. They'd been gone for 70 years, so they had to rebuild what was torn down. So many of them stayed in Babylon, their comfortable lives. They're comfortable. They had, you know, built different things, and they preferred that life in Babylon in favor of following God's will. And I'm here to tell you, that's still a very present danger in our day today. Is Babylon always is a representation of the world? We've been in Revelation, and we know that Babylon one day is going to fall. We've learned that. We looked at that. But I'm here to tell you that Babylon is alive and well today. Not just the literal city, but we're talking about the way of life. Following this world, putting your trust in this world, living as if this world is what will sustain you, and as if this world is your God. That Babylon is alive and well today. And unfortunately, we're learning right now that that Babylon will let you down, and it can fall and it can crumble, and one day God will take it out. But I'm here to tell you, it's a better life whenever you're in the midst of God's will. It was going to be a tough journey. It was going to be a tough lifestyle, rebuilding everything that they needed, rebuilding homes, rebuilding the temple. All of those things was going to be hard work, but God made a way for them to return. In fact, God had promised that he would have them return to the land, and these were the ones that were willing to fulfill and to trust God and to step out in faith. And God is still looking for that remnant. He is still looking for that minority that is willing to step out from him. We've got to live in this world. We've got to live amongst it. But God says, who are you living for? Are you living for Babylon, or are you living for me? And that's still a good question. But that gets us kind of to the setting of this Psalm 85. And you look at verse 1. Look at what it says. It says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. We see, number one, that God had shown favor to the Jews. In fact, they could have lived, and they probably should have lived, in captivity forever. They should have stayed there because of all the times that they'd rejected God's word, rejected his law, rejected the prophets over and over again. And whenever they rejected all of God's word, Lord and his prophets, they would then turn to idols, turn to the idol-worshipping nations for help instead of turning to God. And, you know, we do the same thing. Instead of trusting in God, instead of doing God's will, instead of following God's word, we turn to our own ways, and we trust in idols ourselves. But we're seeing right now that a lot of these idols are falling. They're gone. Where are they at? They're not standing anymore. But aren't you glad that instead of leaving us in bondage, and instead of leaving them in captivity forever, that God was merciful, and he restored a remnant that was willing to go, just as he had promised. He's God, and I'm telling you what, not only did God show favor unto them in their land, I'm here to tell you, God has shown favor to us in our land. We are blessed, even today, when we see the different problems and the different things and this virus and everything added together, we are still blessed as a nation. God has given us so many things. Our biggest problem is where we're going to find toilet paper. A lot of parts of this world, their biggest problem is what they're going to eat that day. I'm here to tell you, we're blessed. We are blessed here in this nation. But I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter what goes on. Aren't you glad that in all this blessing, God is still going to get his word out? I'm thankful for that today. His word's still getting out. So God has shown favor. He showed favor to them. He let them come back into their land. Look at verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Not only did he show them favor, but he shown them forgiveness. And aren't you glad that God's people are a forgiven people. Praise God for that. All of our sins, all of our iniquities, you add all that up together and it stank in the nostrils of God. He couldn't stand it, but all of that sin and iniquity covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. And that word iniquity, it means perverseness or crookedness. And you think about that, the Jewish nation, they had been, over the years, they had been perverse. They had different kings like King Ahaz, King Manasseh, that brought the wrath. You can see in verse 3, the wrath and the fierceness of God that was brought upon them. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, there's that word again, like the wind, have taken us away. I don't know about you, but the Bible's pretty clear about it. We're all sinners. All of us are unrighteous. All of us, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. That means we all deserve hell, but aren't you glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we deserve hell, when we deserve to sit in condemnation and in bondage of our sins, aren't you glad that Jesus came and forgave us of our sins? Praise God for that, that he died for the sins of the world so that we can call upon Jesus' name. I'm thankful for that. We deserve hell, but God showed us mercy and showed us forgiveness. Praise God for that. But if you look at verses 1 through 3. If you look at them, you'll see something. All of these are over and over again. It talks about what God has done. Look at this. Over and over in verses 1 through 3, what God's done. Look what it says. Thou hast. Do you see what it says over and over again? Thou hast been favorable. Thou hast brought back. Thou hast forgiven. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away wrath. And thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Aren't you glad that God did all of these things first? See, they wouldn't have in that day been able to do anything for God if God wouldn't turned himself, repented, and shown mercy. And I'm here to tell you the same thing is true today. We can look at ourselves and say, praise God that God has been favorable to us. Praise God that he's brought us back to a place in fellowship with him that we didn't deserve. Praise God that we're forgiven. Praise God that our sins are covered. Praise God that He took away His wrath, and praise God that He turned Himself from the fierceness of His anger. You look at all these things, it was what God did. But here's what I want to really look at tonight. Look at the first two verses of the first two words of verse 4. Look at that. After all the things that God did, look what it says. It says, turn us. Turn us. See, I'm here to tell you, it isn't enough that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world. It isn't enough that God established the church. It isn't enough that He sent the Holy Spirit for those that are saved through Jesus Christ. It isn't enough that Jesus has gone away to prepare a place in heaven. It isn't enough that Jesus' blood is the propitiation of our sins. It isn't enough that His grace is sufficient. It isn't enough that His mercy is through every page of Scripture. It isn't enough, all these things, if we don't turn. And it isn't enough if you're a sinner, if you don't repent and turn your wicked ways, turn from your sinful life and your iniquities and turn to God. That word repent means you were going one direction and you turn around and go the opposite direction. A 180, not just improving a couple things, but saying my old life was wrong, and God, because God said it was wrong, and I was a sinner, and I want to turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive me of my sins. It is a total change, and that's what the psalmist realized. He realized, look, God has done all this turning. God's turned in all these different ways, but now it is time for us to turn. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what we're going through right now. This virus that's spreading across the world, across our nation, across our land, I don't know. I don't know if it's a plague or a judgment from God. Some people will say it's this or it's that. I don't pretend to claim to know why God does what He does, and I don't need to know. But maybe it's just a wake-up call for the people of this earth to realize that that our life is short, and if we die, we're going to meet Jesus, and we need to be ready for that. I don't know if it's a wake-up call. And here's the thing. Even if God removed all of the virus tomorrow and all we could go back to normal and leave our homes and go back to our jobs and all the things would start up again, and even if God restored all the blessings and all the financial things and all the abundance that we've had and enjoyed all this time, it wouldn't do us any good if we didn't turn back to God. It wouldn't do us any good to have, I'm here to tell you, what good, let me ask you this, what good is a healthy body if you're going to die lost and in eternity in hell anyway? What good is a strong mind that won't acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer and saver of this world? What good is it? What good is all of these things that we have if we don't turn to God with our entire lives? I'm here to tell you, it's no good. And that's what I believe they realized right here. We've got to turn. We've got to turn to Him with everything. Because even though God may restore the physical things and the temporary blessings, I want eternal blessings. I want an eternal reward. I want an eternal home. I'm here to tell you, if He makes it better down here, praise God. But I want it better forever in eternity. Because my life may end. I may not die of the virus, but I'll die of something someday. Or the Lord will come back and take me home. Either way, I've got to be ready. The psalmist saw this and he said, what good is a restored promised land? What good is a rebuilt temple? And what good is it even with people dwelling inside of it? You know, our churches are empty right now because we're not allowed to meet together. But even if there were people sitting in the church building tonight, what good would it be if it's not a people that serve the Lord and are saved and are forgiven and the Holy Spirit's there and Jesus Christ is dwelling in the midst? They learned, the children of Israel could tell us without a doubt, that God's people could tell us, listen, we can have a real temple, we can have it full, we can go through all the rituals, but one day the cloud and the Shekinah glory left the temple and God had left the building. I'm afraid that there are buildings where God had left. left that are called churches, but the name of Jesus wasn't proclaimed like it should. The truth wasn't preached, and God had left long time ago. I'm here to tell you, we can still praise God without a building. We can still preach the truth without a building. Why? Because it's in our heart today. Oh, I would love to shake hands. I'd love to hug necks tonight and have a sweet fellowship. And one day, praise God, we will. Whether it's in this life, in our sanctuary down the road, or whether it's in heaven. Either way, because I'm saved by Jesus Christ, and I'll be able to worship with everyone else who's trusted in Jesus. I'm glad. But I'm telling you what good is all the buildings and all the great churches in this land if we don't turn to God? They're all worthless anyway. And that's what we see. We need to turn our minds back to thinking on the good things of God. That's what Scripture tells us to do. We need to turn our eyes back from all these different things, all these different distractions, turn our eyes back to the pages of Scripture and study to show ourselves approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed. We need to be doing these things, the Bible says. We need to turn our hearts back to our first love. Some people have walked away and wandered away from their first love. You need to come back. I'm telling you what, I'm glad some of these idolatrous things, some of these sports, some of these different things that people are putting their entire life into, I'm glad they're turned off right now, because what it's doing is I'm hoping that people will realize, instead of picking up one thing that'll keep them from God and replacing it with another thing that'll keep them from God, I pray that people turn away from those things and they turn to Jesus Christ with all their heart and with all their mind. We need to turn back to loving God and loving God's people. We need to turn back our plans, our worldly plans and our worldly goals. We need to turn it to seeking to God and seeking His will for our lives and seeking His plan for our lives, because it's better than anything else we could ever imagine. Oh, He's saying, look at us. He's saying, we've turned away from You, O God of our salvation. Will You turn us back to You? Will You help us to come back? Lord, help us to turn back to You. And I'm here to tell you, until we are truly and really willing to pray a prayer like that, asking God to turn us back to Him and really meaning it, that nothing will change. Nothing different will happen in our lives. Like I said, we'll trade one thing for another. But I'm here to tell you, why don't you trade your life and just immersed in all the things that Babylon has to offer? And why don't you set out with the remnant, the smaller crowd that's willing to go back and to rebuild what was torn down and broken down? I'm here to tell you, we've got a lot of things that once were, once a lot of people that were once praising the Lord together with us, we need them to turn back. And maybe it takes us turning back to show them that they need to turn back. Who knows? But I'm telling you what, until you're willing to really turn yourself wholeheartedly back to God. Look at what verse 6 says. Look, see, we want to skip steps. Verse 6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You see, it's a question. And see, they're asking the question almost of God, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And you know what God's saying in return? He's saying, "Listen, I'll revive you, but I won't force you." You realize God doesn't force salvation. He doesn't force His mercy. He doesn't force His will. He doesn't force His plan on you. He gives you all of this truth. He gives you the gift of eternal life. He gives you the truth in His Scripture. And it is up to you and I whether we're going to make the choice or not. And this is what they're asking. "Wilt thou not revive us again?" They're almost telling themselves, we know that God will revive us again, but what do we have to do? Higher up in the verse it says, we know we've got to turn to Him first. We'll never skip. You can't skip steps with God. You can't get saved without repenting, and you can't have revival without repentance and salvation and turning back to God and realizing that we have drifted away from God and we need to get back close to God. We've been filling our hearts and minds with other things, other goals, other plans, and we need to turn our plans and goals right back to God. See, that's what God's trying to get get, I believe he's trying to get our attention today. And see, we, what good is it if we just sit around and we just fill our the time you would have filled with things that are canceled? What good is it if you fill it with something else? I'm here to tell you, let's fill it with God today and his word and his will and his plan. And then we can ask ourselves, wilt thou not revive us again? I'm here to tell you, we need revival. We're going through Revelation in some of the evening services, and I'm here to tell you, we just hit some of the big endings, and we're hitting the big crescendo, the big end of Revelation, where this world is ending, and the Lord is setting up his throne, and soon judgment will come. And I'm here to tell you, that time is closer now than it was in the day of this Psalm 85, and people are saying the Lord's delaying is coming. I'm saying, no, he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him. I'm here to tell you, the time of salvation is now. The time of repentance is now. The time for those that are saved to turn back to the Lord is now. Why? Because he needs us now before it's too late. I don't know about you, but I know heaven's going to be sweet. But not just heaven. There are rewards that go with it that are over and above the different things that we get in heaven. But he said he's going to take our works in this life. He's going to send them through the fire, and the hay, wood, and stubble will burn up, but those things that are precious, they'll make it on through. And what he's saying is, listen, we've got a limited time here left on this earth. You believe the Lord's coming back? I think he is pretty soon. That means we're in the fourth quarter. We're nearing the end. We're in overtime, the 11th hour, whatever you want to call it. We've got to turn back to him with everything we've got. We've got to give it all we've got. Just like those runners, they hit the end of the race. Maybe they're tired, they're thirsty, they're legs and muscles and everything are aching. I've never ran a race like that, but I've read it in a book and I've seen it in their faces. But they get to that last curve, that last little bit, and they can see the finish line in the distance, and it gives them a little extra energy, and they just power on through to the finish line. I'm here to tell you what, church, now is the time to turn back to God. Now is the time to power through. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to slow down. Now's not the time to give up things to the enemy. Now is the time to move forward, to push through, to draw closer to the Lord, and to do what he's called us to do. And I'm here to say, wilt thou revive us again? Jesus said, yes, I will. If you get serious with me, if you repent, if you cry tears, if you intercede, if you testify, if you share the gospel, if you pour it out, if you trust in the Holy Spirit to do his work, and we do these things he's called us to do, I believe the answer is yes. But the question to us is, will we turn, and will we allow God to turn us to what he wants us to be? I don't know that answer, because I don't know if people are willing to give up Babylon to go do what God has called them to do. I don't know today. I don't know about you, but I'm trying. And I, my desire is to be just like that small remnant, that nearly 50,000 that said, we know the road's going to be rough ahead. We know there are going to be obstacles. We know there's going to be enemies. We know there's going to be frustrations. We know there's going to be persecution. We know all these things will happen. But we're doing it because God called us to do it. And I'm here to tell you what. I don't know what God's called you to do, but it's better than anything you could ever do in this life. He's called you for something special. And I want to know tonight, will you turn to him with everything, with your whole life? Revival, said it before, revival comes from salvation. Salvation comes from repentance. And all of these happen because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He took our sins and he bore them on the cross. He died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Praise God. He did all of that so we could have the opportunity to come to him for salvation. But he won't force it on you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to turn to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul and to make you a new creature. And if you do that by faith, He will do everything. He will save you. He will forgive you of your sins. And like the verse says, look at verse 2. You could be one of those people that say, He has forgiven all the iniquity that I had, and He's covered all the sins that I have because of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're saved today. There's work to do. We've got building to do. We've got rebuilding to do. And all of this stuff that's set before us. The majority is not going to follow us. We're never looking to join the majority. We're just looking to join that minority, ones that will walk by faith. But I'm here to tell you, look at verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. You know what the sweet thing about revival is? We get to see it. See, God makes the change on the inside. When you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, He changes you from the inside out. He gives you a new heart, gives you a new life. But the great thing is, when you're truly saved and your life's changed from the inside, everybody can see it on the outside. They see a new person. They hear a new talk. They see a new love. They see a new creature. They see it on the outside. I can't wait for the Lord. Show us thy mercy, O Lord. He's already shown it to me in my heart, but I want Him to show it to us in our eyes. I want to see people bow down and cry tears and come to Jesus Christ. I want to see family members that have heard about Jesus for years and have put it away. People, co-workers that we've worked with, people that we've prayed about for years. I want to see them come to Jesus. Show us the revival. Show us your mercy in action, Lord. We want to see it. But Lord, we know in order for that to happen, we've got to turn. You've turned. You've forgiven. You've shown mercy through Jesus Christ. But will we accept it? And will we turn and dedicate ourselves fully to God? I don't know. Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it's true. And I thank You that this Word is just as alive as the day that Your Spirit revealed it to the psalmist. Lord, I pray that we would take it to heart. And Lord, that we would turn to You with all our life and all our heart and all our mind and all our being. Everything within us, we turn to You. Lord, I love You. I thank You for this church, Lord, not just Victory, but Your church that You bought on the cross with Your blood. Lord, I pray that we would dedicate ourselves to You. Whatever You'd have us to do, help us not to quench the Spirit, but to listen to the Spirit's call. And Lord, we know if we turn, Lord, You will turn the hearts of men. And Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do. We're trusting in You. We're believing in You. Lord, we know that You'll never let us down. You'll never forsake us. Lord, help us in these trying times. Lord, help us to be a light. We love You and we thank You for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. Praise God for that. I'm here to tell you.